I had the pleasure of serving as an OHIP intern this past summer. OHIP is the Occupational Health Internship Program established by Tony Mazzocchi and coordinated by AOEC and the Labor Occupational Health Program in California, which places students with labor unions. I want to thank Matt London, who's in the room, and Jane Lipscomb for mentoring me this summer. Okay, thank you. Workplace violence is pervasive in the U.S. workplace. What you will note in the slide, however, is that for all types of workplace violence, state and local government workplaces lead all other employers in percent of establishments experiencing workplace violence. As you can see, the statistics are borne out by photos taken in the aftermath of New York State employee assaults. Further, we know this is an underreported problem, as the Bureau of Labor, as the Bureau of Justice Statistics reports only about 44% of workplace violence acts are reported. Most of the workers you see here are victims of type 2 workplace violence, where the perpetrator of the violence is a customer, client, or patient. PEF launched their statewide campaign, Stop Workplace Violence, in mid-2005. Their goal was to educate and mobilize their members on the issue. Specifically, they have focused on training leaders in high-risk agencies and mobilizing the union's 54,000 members to get a legislative package passed. At least partly due to PEF's campaign, landmark legislation, the New York State Workplace Violence Prevention Act was passed in July 2006. The final enforcement regulations are currently being written. The law requires public employers to develop a workplace violence prevention program. This involves a written workplace violence prevention policy, doing a risk assessment, an environmental survey, getting input from frontline workers, reviewing injury and illness logs, and annual training. Also, they were required to review the program after a violent incident occurs. The objectives for this project were to assess each agency's progress and see what support PEF's Health and Safety Department could provide. A telephone survey was developed, with the target audience being PEF's activists who chaired the 35 labor management health and safety committees. Before conducting the survey, a memo was sent out by PEF's statewide health and safety committee chair explaining the project to all potential respondents. The interviews were completed in just over 1 month, and then the results were reported to PEF's health and safety department. This slide just shows a sample of some of the questions that were asked by the health and to the health and safety chairs. Twenty-six surveys were completed. With most interviews taking 15 to 20 minutes, the remaining 9 chairs were unable to be reached despite multiple attempts. PEF's Health and Safety Department was pleased with the response rate and that the sample was a good mix of different types of agencies. This slide shows an overall overview of the results. Almost 20% of the surveyed agencies did not have any of the components that were required by law. Also, as you can see, the health and safety chairs ranked the importance of workplace violence prevention fairly high. The next few slides will give a further breakdown of the results. This slide specifically discusses items on the survey that ask about management commitment. The italicized items are required by the law. As you can see, there is a relatively high awareness of the new law and regulations, and an encouraging 65% have put this issue on their labor and management health and safety agenda. Relatively few have developed separate subcommittees. I have grouped the items into categories that have come from the literature for either effective health and safety committees or ways to engage worker participation. These findings suggest that there are opportunities to increase both management and staff involvement in workplace violence law compliance. Successes. 23% of the survey agency chairs were unfamiliar with the law and have only heard about the law when either they received the memo or when they were called. Even among the 20% who professed familiarity with the law, it became obvious during the interview they were unfamiliar with and they asked for more information. This was helpful so PEF could concentrate their efforts accordingly, so when the regulations are finalized and enforced, hopefully more agencies will have a compliant and successful program. The project was also successful in reinforcing the importance of workplace violence prevention. When speaking to the chairs, several thought that the law was not of high importance or not applicable to their agency because they don't have significant dealings with high-risk clients or the public. This was an opportunity to not only educate them about the law, but about the different types of workplace violence and explain it can happen anywhere despite location and clientele population, and also explaining that violence includes more than physical violence. And many cases are underreported, as we learned. Further, this gave an outlet for chair members to share techniques or resources they found helpful and others could benefit from. I've received several tools during the survey, which included a compliance checklist and a draft of workplace violence prevention policy that was shared with PEF that can be shared with other health and safety chairs. Additionally, through the survey, I received 14 suggestions, mostly for training and education and assistance to comply with the new law. Also, 31% of the survey members asked for help from PEF's Health and Safety Department. Many who wanted help were placing the issue on their next labor agenda meeting and wanted to get tips from either prepping or to get buy-in from management. Further, I feel this gave an opportunity for the chairs to either give them a gentle nudge to get started or to remind them that PEF's Health and Safety Department is there to help them. This project was my first experience with unions, and I feel it gave me an understanding that I couldn't have learned through school. It gave me the opportunity to speak with many different labor health and safety chairs, and I've learned a lot from them, as well as my mentors and the OHIP orientation. Again, I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to be an OHIP intern, and I just want to say again thank you very much for Matt and Jane for mentoring me and Gail and Bob for the orientation. Thank you.